host, Logar the Barbarian. And today I'm joined by my guests, Nick Egan and Darren Elm. They are the co-owners of Twin Magi Games. Welcome.
Hi.
Morning. Very, very good to be here.
It's good to have y'all. Now, this is, you're doing some crowdfunding. Is this on Kickstarter? Is that?
It is on Kickstarter.
It is on Kickstarter. And this is your first time doing something, correct?
Yes.
Now, this project you're looking at on Kickstarter is Goblins, Goblinoid Classes for Dungeon Crawl Classics RPG.
Yeah.
Now, I looked over this just briefly, but it looks like you've got a whole class here for playing goblins.
So the zine includes a class for playing a goblin, a hobgoblin, or a bugbear.
Excellent. No. Here's my big question. What gave you the idea to do this, and what made you want to jump in and put your own zine out there for Zine Quest? Tell me how this all started.
So it started out when I was running a home Dungeon Crawl Classics campaign and wanted to include Goblinoid classes. And so I looked and didn't really find what I was looking for in the DCC sphere. And so I designed the Goblin and the Hobgoblin, and then Darren added in the Bugbear class. And after playing with those classes for a while, I talked to some other creators, and they, you know, gave me the idea to try and, you know, publish these classes. So here we are.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't like the idea of playing as a little goblin causing mischief and mayhem at the table? So we were pretty excited. And when we, you know, Nick's goblin class was the first one that really got fleshed out. I thought it was a super cool opportunity to add in the hobgoblin and the bugbear, imagining an adventuring party of these misfits, like total miscreants. And it really kind of opens the door in my mind for all these adventure types that you wouldn't necessarily see with your human, elven, dwarven adventurers. So really a lot of opportunity for creative at the table play.
Now, I've got the old AD&D 2nd Edition Humanoids book, which gave you a lot of the different monsters and whatnot to play, the hobgoblins and all that, bugbears and whatnot. But so, yeah, it seems to me, though, that Dungeon Crawl Classics is almost a perfect game to have something like that for. I've played some Dungeon Crawl Classics in my lifetime, and it seems to fit. You all play a lot of that on the table, or...?
Yeah, I would say Dungeon Crawl Classics is my game of choice at the moment. I was introduced to it at a game shop in Cleveland, you know, a few years back. Ever since then, I've kind of been nuts for it.
I grew up in Cleveland.
Oh, small world.
Cool. West 157th Street. So you're playing DCC now. What did you, I'm assuming you played other role-playing games before then. How did you come into that? And what is your gaming passions? Well, both of you probably have completely different answers, I'm assuming.
A little bit. I've been playing since Dungeons & Dragons for a little over 20 years now. I started back in college and in the 4th edition days. You know, I hope I don't get a lot of hate for that. I started in Dark Sun World. I'll still remember, and I'll never forget the first time that I pulled off a riposte strike with my 4th edition rogue. Still a highlight of gaming to this day. And then after college, I got the itch. So I wound up when 5th edition came out in, you know, around the 2014 timeframe. None of my friends at the time were DMs. You know, my DM was back at UNI's where I graduated from. That's my alma mater. So I had to kind of step into the role. And I was playing for a few years before Nick and I. Nick had an extra ticket to a Bon Iver concert, and he hit me up, and on the way there, you know, you kind of run out of things to talk about in the car. So like any hobbyist does, I'm like, hey, have you ever heard of Dungeons and Dragons? Yeah, man, I got to tell you all about it. So he got pretty excited, and then he joins my home game. And I've been really blessed to, in that kind of sphere or group of friends, have other friends willing to take on the hat of DM. And Nick was the first to do that. So we both kind of went back and forth, and a couple more friends started DMing in that group. So we have a really, really lucky to have a group of friends who are all interested in kind of taking that seat every once in a while. And we've all kind of found our own niche. And yeah, Nick has taken on DCC as his kind of his primary table game. And that's been a lot of fun.
That's good. So did y'all play any DCC before Nick started DMing it, or was that your that kind of like you said, okay, I'm going to bring this in. This is the new thing we're going to check out.
That was my intro to DCC, so that was pretty cool, and it felt like I think it fits Nick's personality a lot.
So Nick, tell me about your experience.
Yeah, so it all started when, you know, Darren brought me into his fifth edition game, and I had never played a tabletop RPG before, really had no idea what it was all about, and I immediately was smitten. You know, it quickly grew to become like my main hobby. You know, I just loved it and couldn't get enough of it. You know, I found that if you want to be playing more tabletop RPGs than you are, then you have to pick up the DM or the GM hat and start running games for people.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I started off with 5th edition, and then I was on a work trip to Cleveland and went to this game shop that was kind of half game shop, half anarchist bookstore.
Nice.
And they had a DCC game running that night, and I said, I'll give this a shot, and you know, I fell in love with all the magic tables and the crit tables and all the stuff that goes along with DCC.
What game store was that?
I can't remember what it was called. The owner's name was Beckett.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Beckett's a wonderful feller. Beckett's an amazing human being. I appreciate him a great deal. Excellent person. So let's, I've got a PDF here of goblins. And now my first question is, this is going to be coming out on Kickstarter. You're just doing the one zine, correct? Is there going to be anything else to this or just the single zine?
Just the single zine. It actually started off as a brochure with just the goblin class. And then as we added the other classes in, it was going to be three brochures. And then we found out that it was much more cost effective to print a zine than to print three brochures. So we transitioned it into being a zine, and it's just the three classes. There could be more goblin related material coming in the future,
mm-hmm.
but we wanted to kind of try and keep it simple for our first effort.
So I've got a question for you two. I'm looking through this. Can we roll up a goblin for DCC here while we're recording this? Would that be all right with y'all if we use it to make a goblin?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That'd be great. Yeah.
So we have the three classes, the hobgoblin, the goblin, hobgoblin, and bugbear. If you don't mind, I've got a three-sided die right here. I'm going to roll it. And it's actually a six-sided die with three repeated on it twice.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to roll 1, 2, 3. 1 is a goblin, 2 it's a hobgoblin, 3 it's a bugbear. Is that cool?
Go yeah, for man. It.
Oh, I got a 2. It's a hobgoblin. It's a hobgoblin. So let's see what kind of stuff we're looking at here. The hobgoblin's on page 6. So I'm going to scroll past the goblin, and we got the hobgoblin. So to start with, we need, you all have it pulled up. I guess we'll start with, I'm going to need to roll my hit points.
Yep, 1d10.
All right. I've got 3 hit points. I'm not the toughest hobgoblin on it.
That's okay, because Most characters in DCC aren't usually the toughest.
Nope. I've learned that the hard way. Weapons training. A hobgoblin is trained the use of these weapons. And he's got my weapons, so I'll have to record that on my character sheet. Regardless of whether they live as part of the commune or serve in the roving war band, hobgoblins are almost always lawful. Those few who are neutral or chaotic usually leave the goblinoid community to be adventurers or work as mercenaries. Oh, I'm interested. So tell me about the hobgoblins here. Cause as I'm reading, they've got a large communities with their goblinoid cousins working as a cohesive unit. Could you tell me a bit more about their culture there?
Yeah. So, as part of my home game that the hobgoblin and the goblin and bugbear classes were designed for, there is an island. It's kind of partly controlled by a group called the Hob Collective.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a human group that's part of an empire. And so the Hob Collective is sort of a anarcho-communist society.
Beautiful.
They work as a group, and they share their resources among each other evenly. And they're kind of opposed to the human empire that is, you know, a hereditary-based empire.
I like that. I appreciate that. No, we got the alignment. Then we go on to our attack modifiers. Hobgoblins do not have fixed attack modifier. It says that said they use a deed dice just like the warrior. So we get the deed dice, and then we get a mighty deed of arms, like warriors, hobgoblins perform the mighty deed of arms in combat. Then it goes on to have the formation fighting. Ooh, tell me about this.
Yeah, so that's kind of the hobgoblin key ability, is that when you roll the deed die each turn to attack, until your next turn, your deed die roll gets added to your allies that are adjacent to you's AC. So it's, in essence, the hobgoblin is fighting in formation and helping to defend his or her allies that are adjacent to them.
That puts me in mind of like a phalanx or something along those lines.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking of there when you describe that. Is that kind of what we're going for?
That is the idea. And the way it plays out at the table is it, you know, really gives people a reason to be concerned about positioning. You know, does the low AC wizard want to hide in the back where he could, you know, potentially be further away but be by his own? Or does he want to move up to the front and be next to the hobgoblin who can help defend him by increasing his AC?
So tell me a little bit about that. I mentioned a phalanx. I don't know if all the listeners know what a phalanx is. You all, I'm assuming you all do, right?
let's hope so. I like, you know, when I picture the hobgoblin fighting, they're like either in that phalanx formation, everybody, mm-hmm. you know, in that kind of V or reverse V, depending on which way you look at it, with spears out. Or I picture kind of like the shield wall, you know, the old kind of Viking Norse shield wall. Everybody's got shields up, spears up, swords out. And for all three of the classes, one thing I appreciate about Nick and the way that he DMs and GMs and his mindfulness, we took a look at how they interact with other people at the table. So, well, for all three of the classes, they all have at least one feature that interacts with either another player character or an enemy in an interesting way. You know, the goblin has that kind of reverse luck mechanic that's the opposite of the halfling's luck. The hobgoblin can increase the AC of its nearby, you know, nearby fighters. And the bugbear, kind of in bugbear, grumbling, howling order fashion, can like shout commands and boost their allies' stats. So each of these classes at the table interact with other party members. So the cool things that happen aren't necessarily just you're doing that mighty deed, you're doing the cool thing, but it has a real tangible benefit at the other people you're playing with, which I think, you know, all tabletop role-playing games are collaborative games. I think it really boosts that feeling of you guys are cohesive, you're in the same team, you've been fighting together for years. It feels tight, which I really appreciate about Nick's design elements, and tried to implement that in mine as well.
I love that. And I like that's one of the things that I like the most about a role-playing game. I played a lot of games, and I got board games. I don't play the board games as much. But the board games I like are collaborative board games more so mm-hmm. than competitive. And I don't know, that's just kind of the things I gravitate towards. I like the collaborativeness of the role-playing game, and I like to have, when I'm DMing, I like my players to be working together as a team. And to bake mm-hmm. that in mechanically, I think that's brilliant. I love that, especially in a game like DCC. That's awesome. I appreciate that. Now I'm going to move up here on this goblin. So the next thing you get in this, as you're scrolling through, rolling up your hobgoblins, you got your, you know, you get by level, what you get, your attack die is a plus D3, your crit tables, and then your action dice. So you'd be recording that down, your fortitude, will, and the, what's the REF again? That was,
Reflex,
fortitude, and will. That's right. I swear I played the game. It's been about a year or two since. They both start off at plus one. And then you have hobgoblin titles. So we have military titles. So starting off with a private, first level, second level being the corporal, and the sergeant, lieutenant, and commander, so on and so forth. And then we have occupation.
Yeah, so those are intended if you are starting off with a funnel, like DCC suggests. You can roll up, you can add those occupations to the zero level occupations table and figure out, you know, who this hobgoblin was before they took up the life of an adventurer, and also what kind of stuff they start out knowing how to do and what kind of equipment they start out having.
Well, I rolled a 5, and that makes my 0-level hobgoblin a drummer. This drummer starts with a short sword and a drum.
Heck yeah.
The drummer hobgoblin.
Yeah, so that's intended to be a military drummer who drums for the like marching in formation and gets the troops ready to fight.
I'm gonna go completely out in the left field here. I was never a military drummer, but we had to play the bugle when I was in the Marine Corps. They would send us off to funeral detail to go to funerals, and they kept on telling me, you're gonna have to play the bugle. You're gonna have to play the taps or whatnot on the trumpet is what it was, not the bugle. I'm saying bugle is a goddamn trumpet. I said, I don't know how to play a trumpet. And they handed me this trumpet and it drove me all the way out to this funeral. And I said, I don't know how to play the trumpet. And they handed me this stinking thing and they pointed inside. There was a little switch you turned on and there was a recording that just played out of the trumpet.
Yep.
So we'd go to funeral details, we'd switch it on and try to make it look like you were playing the damn trumpet. So next time if you see one of those at a funeral, just realize it's probably a recording cover for that thing, and that person gets so many compliments. He played that wonderfully. Well, thank you.
Oh, and I'm sure you pantomimed it wonderfully.
Yeah, so yeah, it was absurd. I think there's a good analogy.
I have seen those before.
Yeah, it's a thing. I had no idea. I think they used it to mess with you when you first started, especially when you first go out to do it. That, like, hey, you're going to do it. I don't know what I'm doing. Get you sweating and then show you the switch. So that brings us pretty much to the end here. We'd have to, of course, roll our 3d6 down the line. I'm assuming that we're doing when we're making our 0-level hobgoblin. We got the bugbear. So, great little zine. If you're definitely worth picking up, some of these elements you have here about how they work with the other players and in your party and whatnot, I love that. I appreciate that a great deal. I think that's worth checking out, and that's going to be on Kickstarter. We'll have a link to it in the show notes, and we'll make sure you can find it as Goblinoid Classes for DCC RPG. So what kind of stuff are you wanting to do in the future? Because I'm assuming that Twin Mad Guy Games, that this isn't just going to be it, right?
Hopefully not. You know, we're both career guys. This is a hobby for us. I think our goal for the Goblin zine was, like, we were praying we were just going to break even. Because, you know, we've commissioned art and we put a lot of time into it. And then we're thinking, you know what, we're okay to take a loss on art. You know, we got to support our artists. If we can just make enough to print it and ship it out to people, we'll be happy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we were just tremendously overwhelmed by the, I think, goodwill in the community. You know, we funded in 3 hours or something like that. And we're sitting at like over 300% funded. And a lot of that has to do with, I think, the goodwill that we've gotten from Goodman Games. You know, they gave us a little for use with Goodman Games stamp, and they're putting it on their store online and the DCC RPG Rocks Facebook group. So really, really thankful for all of the backers. They gave us an opportunity to even think about extra projects, because this is just a hobby for us. Mm-hmm. Coming down the line, we've got 2 adventures that we're working on. Since this is all just kind of hobby work, we don't have timelines on it yet. I'm working on a little adventure for the Shadowdark RPG that recently came out.
Yes.
I was really impressed by the really tight design in Shadowdark, and I fell in love with the format of the Cursed Scrolls. I don't know if you've seen the Cursed Scroll zines, but man, those things are cool. They've got, it's like a mini hex crawl at the start. It gives you a little bit of background on the area. You've got a couple extra classes and a few adventuring locations. And I mean, there's just, in a really tiny zine, hours and hours of play. So we've got an adventure that's kind of an homage to those Cursed Scrolls, with its a little mini hex crawl, kind of a compound adventure that I think we could take several sessions. And Nick, you've got something else that you're working on for DCC too.
Yeah, so I have a DCC adventure I've been working on for a little while. It's sort of I would say DCC meets Jurassic Park.
Tell me about this.
So the party goes to an island in search of treasure from ships that have shipwrecked on the rocky cliffs surrounding it, and discovers that it is filled with dinosaurs grown in vats by an insane wizard.
Nice. I appreciate that. That's some fun stuff there. So do you have any sort of website for the party, for your Twins Magi or anything like that currently? Are you just operating as, can you tell me about any kind of where people can look to find you and stuff like that?
Yeah, we've got a, so I think in normal fashion, we tend to go overboard in anything we do. So when we started, you know, thinking about publishing a zine, we thought like, man, what if we make enough money to have to file taxes on this? Like, do we have to figure out how to like be a business? Because it's just Nick and I. So we did a lot of research, and in, you know, I think the initial plan was like, oh, we'll just make the zine and we'll worry about it later. And it's like, well, no, all these things started snowballing. So what we thought was just going to be one Kickstarter page did turn into quite a lot. So you can find us on Facebook. We are Twin Magi Games on Facebook. And we do have a Wix site that is twinmagigames.wixsite.com/home. And that'll take you to us. We're still kind of building the Twin Magi empire slowly but surely here.
The empire, actually.
We've got the website, we've got a couple designs up on Redbubble, and then the Facebook page. That'd be the extent of our online presence, and Darren listed the URL. There's not a lot on the website as of yet, but as we put out more, we do have an email list sign up, so if anyone's interested in hearing about our new projects, they can sign up for our email list.
And the email list is where?
It's the sign up is on the homepage of the website.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes. Just go check that out. It'll be there. Thank you all for coming on. It's been great getting to talk to y'all.
Hey, thank you so much for having us on. We're really grateful. And, you know, not only to you, but the whole OSR community is it's full of people that just want to play games and have a good time together. So we've had a really, really exciting time kind of getting in through our first adventure and our first zine. So thank you so much, and we're just really grateful for the community.
Yeah, thank you for having us. We really appreciate it, and yeah, we're really excited about this Kickstarter.
Excellent. It's been great getting a chance to talk to y'all. If you've all have enjoyed what you've heard here today, give us a positive review wherever you're listening, and you can find us at hoboscollective.com, and keep those dice rolling.